Representative Klein.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, this is committee substitute for House Bill 591. It's an equitable claim to compensate former residents of Rosewood, Florida, for damages resulting from the destruction of their homes and the displacement of their families. The facts of this case relate to 1923, when the black community of Rosewood consisted of approximately 20 families. On January 1, 1923, an alleged assault of a white housewife took place. The alleged assaultee claimed that a black man assaulted her. Soon after that, a group of people from the area formed and attempted to search out the perpetrator. The result of that were a number of deaths that day of black and white men. And over the next number of days, residents, including a number of children, were chased from their homes, chased into the woods. More people were killed. Property was burned to the ground. And the result was that the people of Rosewood never returned. They never talked about it because of threat and intimidation. At the time, law enforcement, it's alleged that law enforcement was aware, the local law enforcement being the sheriff, as well as the state, and no action was taken. About a month later, after the series of incidents, a special grand jury investigation was convened, and the investigation interviewed a series of witnesses over a number of weeks. There were no findings or no criminal indictments attached to this incident. This claims bill was filed for the purpose of attempting to find an equitable way of recognizing this tragedy and the people affected by it. The House Judiciary Committee and the Appropriations Committee have approved the bill, and the bill provides for an FDLE investigation of the incident, a property compensation fund, compensation to former residents who are still alive, a scholarship program, and the establishment of a continuing study of the Rosewood incident.
Thank you, Representative Klein. I know there are some members who want to be heard on this issue. Let me first see if there are amendments on the desk.
On the desk, Mr. Speaker.
Okay, let's consider the amendments. Take up and read the first amendment.
The Committee on Appropriations offered the following amendment on page 1, line 19, into the lengthy amendment.
Representative Klein, are you going to handle the appropriations amendment?
I could if...
Okay, you're recognized.
Okay, members, the first amendment is a restatement of the whereas clause providing some additional text.
Are there questions? Are there questions? Question, Representative Chris?
Not on the amendment, sir.
Representative Chris, you recognize?
Not on the amendment, sir, just on the bill.
Representative Chris, I'm sorry, could you repeat the question?
I have a question on the bill itself, sir.
Okay, this is on the amendment. If you'll wait till we're on the bill, then we'll be glad to recognize you for that purpose. On the appropriations amendment, are there questions? Are there members who wish to debate? Seeing none, the question recurs in the adoption of the amendment. As many as favor adoption, signify by saying yay. Opposed, nay. Amendment's adopted. Take up and read the next amendment.
The Committee on Appropriations offered the following amendment on page 2, line 21 through page 3, line 2. Strike all said lines and insert a lengthy amendment.
Representative Klein.
Let's see. Mr. Speaker, this is the amendment that establishes the scholarship fund and clarifies the continuing research of the incident.
On the amendment, are there questions? Are there members who wish to debate? As many as favor adoption, signify by saying yay. Opposed, nay. Amendment's adopted. Take and read the next amendment.
Representative Thomas offered the following amendment on page 2, lines 1 through 20. Strike all said lines and insert a lengthy amendment.
Representative Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, in order to explain this amendment and the following amendment, they're very important to the crux of the bill. And so, during the explanation of this amendment, we need to go over some of the facts of what we know concerning Rosewood. And what do we know concerning the incident that occurred at Rosewood? For those of you who read the report on Rosewood, it is fairly short. It's only 92 pages. You can read it in an evening. It'll stay with you much of the rest of your life
The appendix is quite a bit longer and not as interesting, but it's every bit as crucial, as is the text of the special master's report. And when we review those things together, this is what we know about the incident that occurred at Rosewood. We know that 6 black people died and 2 white people died. We know that there were 3 law enforcement officers involved. The sheriff, a man named Walker, 1 deputy who remained in a hotel more than 10 miles away during the entire riot, and another deputy, a man named Morris Cannon, who risked his life to first try and stop the riot, and then secondly, to try and protect the citizens of Rosewood. And so we have heard at various committees during this process that law enforcement was irresponsible and law enforcement was painted ugly with a broad brush. And that's not true. We know that uniformed white train workers came and helped the citizens of Rosewood. And I've heard as we've discussed this issue, and when people asked me to either withdraw these amendments or not do them, that we ought to pay these people and be done with it. And I think that's an inappropriate way to handle this. We ought never be done with this issue because this issue is an ugly part of our history and we ought to own up to it. And we ought to own up to it somewhat permanently. And in fact, historically, this state, in this same Rosewood report, you will hear that this bill for reparations to individuals establishes no precedence because of the unique circumstances of Rosewood. And yet, if you read this report on page 91, you will see that in at least 2 other areas of Florida, Ocoee, Florida, and Perry, Florida, there was this same kind of complicity with law enforcement. But not all law enforcement. We know that the sheriff did not take adequate actions in the light of 71 years of history, but we know that one of his deputies did. The only other thing we know about Sheriff Walker is that he resigned within a year after the incidents of Rosewood. And we don't know whether that was because he was shamed, because he had committed malfeasance, whether he was incompetent, whether he wanted this riot to continue, or he simply had a better job offer. We really have no knowledge as to why he resigned. Forgiveness is essential for this community, for Rosewood. But forgiveness is a two-way street. We ought not buy our forgiveness with a series of compensatory, monetary, pecuniary actions for a small, select group. We ought to have an admission of sorrow and a recognition of that admission, and a continuing recognition of that admission. And that's what this amendment does. This strikes the reparations to individual people and directs the Department of Historical Research to put a permanent exhibit at the R.A. Gray Building and the Department of State to put in a permanent exhibit at the site in Rosewood. And I'd like you for your favorable consideration on this amendment.
On the amendment as offered by Representative Thomas, are there questions? Are there questions? Is there debate? In debate, Representative Chestnut, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Thomas makes a very compelling speech, but the part that concerns me is where you talk about buying forgiveness. If we look at buying forgiveness, then I think every claims bill that comes before the Florida House would, in essence, be really buying forgiveness. I think we have members before us today an issue of great historical significance. If you have not read the special master's report, I suggest that you do because it is very, very compelling. There is no amount of money that can be paid to bring back the lives that were lost. There is no amount of money that can be paid that will restore the property that was lost. What we have before us today is to begin to try to make amends for that. And I would like to speak against this amendment. Making amends does not mean, in my opinion at this time, establishing a marker or establishing a permanent exhibit. I think we need to move towards some remuneration for these victims. Thank you. So I urge members to vote against this amendment.
Further debate on the amendment. Further debate on the amendment. Representative Lawson.
Mr. Speaker, and members of the House, in due respect to Dr. Thomas, I have spent much time in talking to Dr. Thomas about Rosewood issue. In fact, Dr. Thomas was a key person in enabling us to pass this out of Judiciary Committee. I served on the Claims Committee for 6 years. And one of the non-lawyers that served on the committee. And when in the deliberation on the Claims Committee, there have never been an issue that was passed out of the Claim Committee where we tried to erect a marker and not provide for compensation, because there was an injury, a disservice to citizens in the state. Dr. Thomas is very astute in reviewing the information, and I too hope that people will review the Special Master Report. But I can tell you, having over the year and a half spent time and getting to know the survivors of Rosewood, to understand personally the tremendous tragedy that these individuals had to go through, to live in fear all these years, fear of their life, fear of their families, to always think about reclaiming their property, wanting their property back, their community back, their livelihood back, and knowing that this was not possible. And I would encourage members in the House to think deeper, instead of just erecting a marker, and to vote down the Thomas Amendment, because it goes to the heart of what we have worked on so many months and over the year. This removes a dark side of Florida history, but it gives the African-American family in Rosewood hope. Hope that this legislature, this body, will try to erase some of the dark shadows that hang over their heads, that have been hanging over their heads for so many, many, many years. With the inability to even approach this process or any process. And now here at the Florida Legislature, when we have made it through the committees at the Florida House, I would encourage the members, do not let this amendment gut the bill. Please vote down the Thomas Amendment. Thank you.
Representative Graber.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To speak against the Thomas Amendment, you know, we have something we call closure. And closure is something that people need to do in a crisis situation. And closure is something that is important to a society, but it's more important to the individuals directly affected. If this had occurred 500 years ago and nobody could trace the relatives, I could understand a marker or a statue. But because we do have relatives who we can trace to, you know, when something has insulted or harm done to someone in our society, and society stood by for whatever reason, and the person suffered, some compensation is needed for closure, because that's what we do in our society. I think in this case that the amount of money appropriated is really small, but it's not the amount that counts. It's the fact that these people know that society is saying, yes, we do understand you were hurt, and yes, we are going to give you closure by saying we're sorry, and in a small way try to compensate some of your feelings. There's no way you can compensate for this type of tragedy or other tragedies of this nature. but you can't allow people to close. And I think it's very important that we pass this bill to allow that closure to occur. So I urge you to defeat the Thomas Amendment.
Representative Eklashan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, you've heard from Representative Thomas, and he indicated that, and I read the report. I read the report five different times, and it is a very interesting report. It's so interesting, that's why I read it five different times, because I wanted to make sure that I understood clearly what happened with Rosewood, because it is a historical and significant event in the history of Florida and in the history of America. Certainly, he makes a very compelling argument. However, I would assert to you, as he has asserted in his argument, that at Rosewood, not all police officers stood back. However, in this particular instance, we do have overwhelming evidence to indicate an eyewitness, and I want you to understand that, eyewitness reports that indicated that police officers and law enforcement officials in the state of Florida stood back and allowed this to occur. That is a compelling evidence that when law enforcement officials knowingly, willingly stand back and allow a tragedy to occur where life is lost, property is taken, is unprecedented. I can't say any more than what other members have already said on this floor concerning this and concerning the amendment, but I will tell you this, that there comes a time in everybody's life and in the history of a state that we have to stand tall as humans to recognize our rights, our faults, our shortcomings, and to do what we have to do in order to right a wrong. And this is a great wrong, and I urge you to defeat the Thomas Amendment.
Members, just to remind you that we're going to ask you if you have remarks regarding the main text of the bill, if you could save those for closing remarks. We're going to give each and every person who feels convicted to speak to this an opportunity to be heard. Now, at this time, let's try to focus on the Thomas Amendment, and part of it is involved in striking substantial parts of the bill, so I think the testimony has been appropriate. But just remember that we want to save some of these remarks for the close on the bill as well. Representative Warner.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, I rise to speak against the Thomas Amendment and with reluctance against my good friend Dr. Thomas. I know that many of you in this chamber are going to vote against the Rosewood bill, and many of you have good reasons to do that, and I'm not trying to persuade you one way or the other in that regard. But I believe the Thomas Amendment is the wrong thing to do. We should either vote this Rosewood bill up or vote it down in regard to the compensation. If the state of Florida has done something wrong and we should do something right by these people, then let it be yes or no on the Rosewood bill that came out of the Appropriations Committee. I don't think it's the right thing to do to gut the bill and replace it with a highway marker. So I urge you to vote against the Thomas Amendment.
Representative Wise, are you a proponent for the amendment? You recognized as a proponent.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Dr. Thomas's amendment, I guess, if you look at the Holocaust and what's happened in the Holocaust, and we have that kind of memorial in Washington, D.C., I think that what we need to do also is to provide in our dark history of this state and what we did to this group of people, I think that we need to put together a permanent exhibit for the people so that history doesn't repeat itself. I think it was just one of the most tragic things that we've done in this state by my forefathers against the black people's forefathers, and maybe we ought to ask for forgiveness. And I think that's one of the things that we need to do, and I think we need to go ahead and put that kind of exhibit up so that people would not forget what took place in this dark hour of our history. And I would ask you to support this amendment.
Okay, it would be my intention to recognize Representative DeGrande and Thomas as DeGrande as an opponent and Thomas to close. Representative Gordon, do you have something to add on the amendment? Representative Gordon.
Just to the amendment based on something that Mr. Wise said, Mr. Speaker.
To the amendment, you recognize.
He mentioned the issue of the Holocaust Memorial. Members, there was reparation made to the German Jews that whose property was taken without due process. It isn't just a memorial. And the German government, recognizing that what they owe to the people because they denied them the opportunity of being able to have descendants to inherit their property, their goods, their mementos, their jewelry, their paintings, the German government recognized that they owed it to the survivors to compensate them. And so it's not just a memorial, but it is an ongoing reparations the German government is paying to those people for the taking of their property and goods without due process. And that's what's going on here, and that's why we should defeat Dr. Thomas's amendment.
Okay, Representative DeGrande is an opponent, then Thomas to close on the amendment. Representative DeGrande.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Briefly, first let me state that regarding Representative Thomas's recitation of facts as he reads them from the master's report, there is a part passage in there that we do not agree with philosophically. There is a passage where he says that at one point an officer helped people escape and risked his life. The testimony is there, and that is not eyewitness testimony, although there is eyewitness testimony in the report. That is, at that point, very removed testimony. But the testimony is that after the destruction, after everything that occurred, one deputy sheriff went to the woods and found some black people hiding there and helped them get on the train to go to Gainesville. Now, the master, very interestingly, puts that on page 12 as part of the reason why we should give compensation. And let me tell you why. What message was law enforcement sending today? Excuse me, in 1923, the message was, get out of town. We will help you get out of town. But the number one priority of law enforcement and of the police powers of our government is to safeguard you in your property where you choose to live and where you choose to remain. So to me, that is not a compelling enough reason to say that there is doubt that the authorities in charge did something affirmative. On the contrary, that is evidence of a continuing failure to do their duty, which was to protect the lives and properties of citizens in Rosewood, to remain in Rosewood, as we have a right to live anywhere we want to live and own property wherever we want to live. Now, there's two issues at law that are very important here. One, we have talked a lot about precedent. Think about this. What type of dangerous precedent are we going to set if we were to pass Dr. Thomas' amendment and gut the bill? This is a strict equal protection argument. If, in fact, these people have proven their claim and are ripe for some type of action from the legislature, do they not, as a matter of equal protection, deserve to be treated the same as anybody else? And I have to date not seen in the 5 years that I've been here and the other years that I've studied the legislature a case where a person has a DOT sign fall on his head and gets a memorial erected. They get compensation because that's what our rules uniformly say that anyone who has proven their claim should get from the legislature. And I would submit to you that it would set a very dangerous precedent if we were to violate those notions of equal protection and treat these individuals differently from how we've treated everybody else that has come before this legislature with a claims bill. So I agree with Representative Warner that if you believe for some reason that the claim is not proven, then vote against the bill. But to do this would gut the bill and set a very dangerous precedent. And I believe the evidence clearly shows that the claim has been proven, and therefore Dr. Thomas's amendment is unjustified. Thank you.
Dr. Thomas, to close on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Once again, following Mr. DeGrande is very difficult. And I know he speaks from his heart when he says that, but there was testimony on page 535 of the documented testimony available to us about Morris Cannon attempting, one, to stop the riot, and two, when he failed at stopping the riot, helping the citizens of Rosewood escape from the town. And that's also alluded to throughout the narrower version of the
of Dr. Jones' report that we can all have. What we're saying here is that we could take a horrible part of the history of Florida and buy off a handful of residents and forget it. And I beg of you, that is wrong. What we need to say is that this is a horrible part of Florida's history, and that we need to share in our forgiveness of one another and come together and do something permanent to memorialize this tragedy and work so that it will never occur again. And with that, I've closed.
Representative Thomas, having closed, question recurs on the adoption of the amendment as offered by Dr. Thomas. As many as favor adoption signify by saying yay.
Yay.
Those opposing adoption signify by saying nay.
No.
The amendment fails with adoption. Take up and read the next amendment.
Representative Thomas offered the following amendment. On page 1, lines 19 through 21, strike all said lines and insert a lengthy amendment.
Representative Thomas.
I'll withdraw that.
Show the amendment withdrawn. Take and read the next amendment.
Representative Albright offered the following amendment. On page 1, line 19 through page 3, line 2, strike all said lines and insert a lengthy amendment.
Representative Albright.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, this is a very important issue to a lot of people in here, in particular the Black Caucus, who I had the pleasure of working with last year. And if it's important to people that I work with and enjoy working with, it's important to me. And I have groped over this issue now for weeks, trying to figure out how I could support something that recognized the injustices done to these people, and at the same time deal with the other side of me that I have a problem paying financial redress in this situation. I therefore have drafted an amendment that creates a Rosewood Memorial Park to be located on up to 50 acres of the Gothy State Forest in Levy County, which is a multi-thousand acre tract that we have recently purchased that's just a few miles from the original Rosewood site. The state of Florida under this will be strongly encouraged to work with historical organizations and civic groups to raise the funds necessary to construct any buildings, exhibits, and memorials necessary to complement Florida history in general and the Rosewood incident in particular. Finally, we set aside a sum of $10,000 in planning money to work, use the Department of Parks and Recreations to use. Mr. Speaker, I have to tell a story, and I talked to my grandfather about it yesterday, who's 87, make sure I had my facts straight. And it goes like this, and I don't want to give you the decade other than tell you it was between the 20s and the 40s. I'm not going to tell you the county, but it was in Florida. And there was a sheriff who had two white deputies that were about 6'6" that went around to every black community on Friday and Saturday night with blackjacks and beat people up on a regular basis. And the reason it was done was to let everybody know that Sheriff was in charge and that he wasn't going to put up with any monkey business in his county. Now, I happen to think that this was probably pretty commonplace in Florida at the time. And the Rosewood thing the other day was characterized as a hate crime. And let's explore that just briefly. I think that of all the atrocities that were created at Rosewood, they started as a series of events, and that one thing led to another where there was a lot of emotion involved and it escalated. I don't think there was any premeditation there, or minimal. But you take these guys that went around every Friday and Saturday night to beat people up, there was plenty of premeditation there and probably a lot of hate. Why aren't those people, whoever they are, just if not more entitled than these people? And that in lies the problem, I think, of trying to interject our views of 1994 civil rights on acts of the past. I think that the way that we should deal with this is like the Holocaust has been dealt with, that it's more important to remember, or most important to remember, and not to repeat again. I think there are some parallels that have to be drawn here, is that the Holocaust was state-sponsored terrorism and genocide, if you will, where I don't think that we can say that this incident was state-sponsored, in that they may have neglected to act, but clearly they did not attack, as did the Nazis upon the Jews in World War II. Finally, it's been brought to my attention yesterday that there was an attorney that has said, and they may have been saying it in jest, but it's someone that's well enough known in the state to take them serious, that if this passes, they're going to then search out everybody that had a family member that was lynched and then bring a claims bill on that. And Mr. DeGrande talks about equal protection, and why wouldn't we not pay a claims bill if a law enforcement officer participated in a lynching, if you take his argument forward? So I think the issue is here that we memorialize this, use this as a historical footnote, and go forward. But if you open this door, ladies and gentlemen, rather than closing it, this opens it up where you'll never close it. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, for indulging me.
On the amendment as offered by Representative Albright. Representative Miller, for debate and opposition, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've heard what Mr. Albright has said and looked at this amendment, and I would say that I'm a little appalled, a little hurt, a little disgusted, but as I have sometimes lost my cool on this floor, I will not try to do that today. Mr. Albright has said that he has great respect for the judgment of the Black Caucus members and those people that are supporting this bill very strongly. Mr. Albright, if you had that type of judgment, you would not make this amendment that guts this bill that we have before us now. Back in 1923, and I've had people to ask me, and I had one member ask me today, why didn't the people of Rosewood try to get law enforcement to listen to what they were saying? That is the whole crux of the bill. Law enforcement, the governor, and other state officials knew what was being said and turned their backs, closed their eyes, and did absolutely nothing. You heard Representative DeGrande say so eloquently, if a DOT sign fell on someone's shoulder and put that person out of work for the rest of their lives, they would come before us for a claims bill. And we have sit here today and in this session and past sessions that I've been here in the 17 months, and we've compensated people for those type of incidents. This particular incident destroyed the property rights of citizens of the state of Florida, regardless of how much percentage of human beingness we thought that black people had back then. It took their property from them, something that they rightfully own and deserve to keep, but it was taken from them. We talk about property rights today. This is one example of what's happening with property rights. The civil rights were violated. Even though we might not have had civil rights laws back then, the civil rights was violated in 1923. If this was to happen today, yes, we would have people coming before us for compensation. Mr. Albright has said that we're setting a precedent to make sure will happen, that more people will now come before us if this bill passes because of lynchings and murders, racist acts, whatever the case may be. Well, many times these things have happened in the state of Florida. I've been told that in Perry, Florida, about the same time this same type of thing occurred, but it lasted one day. And I understand law enforcement was there to stop this. This lasted for an entire week. One entire week. And again, ladies and gentlemen, in 1923, can you imagine the rights that a black person had in the South? Can you imagine what rights they had to go to the police officers and ask for help? They had absolutely zero, none, null and void, nada. It wasn't there. It just was not there. So, Representative Albright, if you have the respect for the judgment of the members of the Black Caucus, if you have the respect for the judgment of Representative Miguel DeGrande, if you have the respect for the judgment of the people that really support this bill, you would withdraw this amendment that you have. But I know you're not going to do that. You're a strong-willed person. I've served with you for 17 months on some committees, so you're not going to withdraw this amendment. So I ask that the members of this House please, please defeat this bad amendment and let justice be served today. Thank you.
On the amendment. Further debate on the amendment. Representative Grandy on the amendment.
Thank you again, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to ask you to very briefly to defeat the Albright Amendment for the same legal reasons that I asked you to defeat the Thomas Amendment. As a matter of fact, the argument in Representative Albright's amendment is even more compelling because in his whereas clause, he actually admits that the claim was in effect proven. And when he says that it nonetheless appears that they failed, meaning law enforcement, to act to prevent the tragedy, and therefore an entire town was destroyed, etc. And my amendment, my argument remains the same. If the claim was proven, then they deserve money compensation because that's the only thing that we as a legislature have provided for claims bills, and it is a simple equal protection argument. I would ask you to respectfully, but please, vote against Mr. Albright's amendment, and let's get to the merits of the bill.
Hey, guys.
On the amendment, Representative Grandy, having spoken in opposition to the amendment, we're going to recognize Representative Albright to close. Representative Posey, is this on this amendment? And you're a proponent?
Yes, Mr. Speaker.
Okay, you'll be recognized as a proponent. Representative Posey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wasn't going to say anything on this issue because it's such an emotional issue. I speak in favor of Representative Albright's amendment because it will let me vote for this bill. Everyone's heard the cliche, your name is mud. I assume everybody knows where that came from. After Abraham Lincoln was assassinated, we had literally a lynch mob of elected, empowered officials that went out to convict somebody for the murder. You may know that a number of people were hung in connection with the Lincoln assassination. A lot of other people were punished. One of them that was wrongly punished was Dr. Samuel Mudd. He lost everything as he sat in a prison in Key West before he was finally released, sick, old, worn out, a waste of life. Dr. Mudd was a relative of mine, but I don't ever expect to be compensated for what the federal government did to him. Yes, a president gave him an official pardon a couple years ago after his death to clear his name, but there was a lot of family damage that was done. I spent 12 years in elected office. Representative Roberts is talking about his 10 years. For the last 2 years, I've been known as the representative in the back row that votes against all the claims bills. But for the 10 years before that, I was known as a public official that didn't vote for spending any public money for charitable contributions. Government can't be all things to all people. Government has to do for people what they can't do for themselves. Everybody can't build their own roads, so we pool our resources for roads. We can't hire our own armies, so we pool our resources for armies. But you know, we can support our own kids' softball teams. We can support other charitable purposes. My point for this, Mr. Speaker, isn't to get too far off the track. This bill comes out to about a 20-cent appropriation for every soul in the state of Florida. I doubt that you'd find many members in these chambers that wouldn't give 1,000 times their per capita share to a charitable endowment or any kind of charitable fund that would be such that people could voluntarily contribute to it. You know, I personally would love the opportunity to do it. But deep inside, I know this is not the kind of thing we can spend tax dollars for, and that's why I hope you will support Representative Albright's amendment, because it will give me an opportunity to vote affirmatively on this bill. Thank you.
Further debate on the amendment. Further debate, Representative Albright, to close.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Miller, I filed this amendment because I care and because so much of this debate has been drawn in that if you ain't for me, you're against me. And that is so far afar from where I'm at, and I happen to know a significant number of people are in here. But, Mr. Miller, this not only awards people for economic damage, and I have not seen all of the special master's reports, so I don't know if any deeds were put forward, but it also sets a precedent for non-economic damages, pain and suffering. You got to take the facts if you're going to play in this game. And the facts are, if you'll read the amendment, the criteria set out for the Attorney General is very nebulous. There are no qualifiers, very few. And I'm not going to go home and either be a for this amendment or against this, a for this bill or against this bill. I'm a great Florida historian. I think a great injustice occurred in Florida at this time. I don't think this should be lost. I think this is something that should be remembered and taught for future generations, as well as people from other parts of the state. We have a wonderful tract of land within a few miles of this, some of the most magnificent uplands in Florida. This would make a wonderful final tribute to this issue and truly let us close the door instead of opening the door to Pandora's box if you vote for the Rosewood Bill. Thank you.
On the amendment, as offered by Representative Albright, as many as favor adoption signify by saying yea.
Yea.
Those opposing adoption signify by saying nay.
No.
The amendment fails with adoption. Take up and read the next amendment.
Representative Casey offered the following amendment on page 2, lines 21 through 27. Strike all the said lines and insert a lengthy amendment.
I'm advised that this is a late file amendment. Representative Casey, if you would give a brief description and then the members would vote whether to admit the amendment, late file notwithstanding.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, what this amendment does is a few days ago we passed out House Bill 1309, which created a pre-law and a law minority scholarship fund. What this does is simply take out Section 5 of House Bill 591 and replace it with language that says the Rosewood Scholarship Program is created as a legal education component of the Florida Education Fund to provide the opportunity for minority groups to attain representation within the legal profession proportionate to their representation within the general population. The Rosewood Scholarship Program shall include a law school program and a pre-law program. And then it just uses some of the language that we passed.
Okay, Representative Casey, the idea is just a brief description, right, and then let's let the members vote whether to admit it late file notwithstanding. Do you feel like you've adequately given the members an opportunity, okay, to consider it? Members, the issue would be whether to consider the Casey Amendment late file notwithstanding. As many as favor consideration signify by saying yea.
Yea.
Opposed by saying nay.
No.
The amendment's not considered. Take up and read the next amendment.
None on the desk, Mr. Speaker.
No further amendment on the desk. Are there questions of the sponsor of the bill? Are there questions? Question now recurs on whether to roll committee substitute for House Bill 591 to third reading. On motion of Representative Klein, question recurs on rolling House Bill 591 to third reading. As many as favor the motion to waive the rules and roll it to third, signify by saying yea.
Yea.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Read the bill a third time.
By the Committee on Judiciary and Representatives DeGrande and others, committee substitute for House Bill 591, a bill to be entitled an act relating to Rosewood, Florida.
Now, members on the bill, I know that there were some of you who wanted to be heard earlier on the amendment and had a sort of motion that you'd like to just be considered on debate at the time of passage. Representative Burke, would it be your pleasure to be recognized in debate on the bill? Okay, Representative Burke will be a proponent. Others, Representative Klein, you would be a proponent. Representative Chestnut would be a proponent. Representative Hill would be a proponent. Representative DeGrande would be a proponent. Representative Lawson would be a proponent. Representative Warner and Representative Pruitt. Opponents, who would be recognized as opponents to the bill? Are there opponents to the bill who wish to be recognized? Representative Crist, are you asking for recognition? Representative Crist would be one.
Yes, sir. I have questions that need to be answered before we move into debate.
Okay, we called for question earlier, but I'd be glad to open up again for question. Is this related to the bill?
Yes, sir, it is.
The question you recognize.
I have two questions, sir. First of all, these are just clarifications. I do not have a decision on this bill yet. The answers on these questions will help me make that decision and after listening to the debate. But the first question is, you know, what did the state do or not do to warrant this restitution? And the second question is, I have an area in my district known as Suitcase City. It has 450% thereabouts, according to the local authorities, higher crime than the average in the county. We have people that have been actually driven out of their homes, who have had to give up their property, who have been, in fact, victimized. Would they also qualify for this type of restitution in the future as well?
Representative Chris, the points are well taken to the bill. I think those should be addressed, and I think the evidence is available. Representative Grandy, would you address those points, please?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Let me take your second one first as to crime rates and high crimes in some neighborhoods and others, and the answer is no, that is not an entitlement to compensation. Here we have a unique event where over a period of days, law enforcement knew that riots were occurring, actually not riots because it was kind of one-sided, knew that mob action was occurring, failed to act on that mob action, and subsequent to the destruction of lives and property, failed to secure the area for the return of those legitimate property owners. Now, 2 years ago, for example, there was a black man that was torched in Florida, a tourist, for the simple crime of being black. Now, the state has no responsibility, bears no responsibility for that, because it was an event that the state could not foresee. It was an event the state could not detect prior to its occurrence. Now, the state did do what it was supposed to do. The state did work to apprehend and then to try to bring to justice those individuals that committed that crime. That the state here hasn't even done to date. To date, there was one grand jury and panel that was basically a farce that said there were some killings, there were some burnings, and that's all that we could do about this. There has not been even a serious attempt at law enforcement in 71 years. So that is distinguished from your crime situation. Now, your first situation, what did the state fail to do to entitle compensation? I've answered in part, but let me tell you one thing. Even in the times in 1923, where there was a separate but unequal system that was legal at that time, there was still a recognized interest that black citizens had to life, liberty, and property. Those are three recognized interests. Now, life, there was a lot of life lost because of what happened at Rosewood and the state's failure upon notice to do anything whatsoever to make them safe. Liberty, within the concept of liberty, is the freedom to assemble, to worship where you want to worship, to live with who you want to live, and to own property where you want to own property. Those rights, those freedoms, part of your right to liberty, were denied of those people. And finally, the right to private property. By the state taking no action to protect your private property, which is their primary function, and subsequent to the destruction, making no efforts whatsoever to secure the area for you to reclaim your property, the state again failed in its primary duty to protect the life, liberty, and property of its citizens. So based on those factors, a study that was commissioned by this House honorably at the request of the Speaker of this House found that there was liability, and in an adversary proceeding where the state was ably represented by an attorney from the Attorney General's office, the same conclusion was reached.
Follow-up question, Representative Chris.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So in essence, Representative, what you're saying is if Suitcase City in my district can also show that the state failed to protect them, failed to protect their rights, their liberties, their private property, and that these people were also driven from their homes and have had to give up their life savings and everything that they've had out of fear for their lives and out of torment, that they also, too, could qualify just as these people.
No, sir, maybe my mic wasn't on, but I said exactly the opposite. What I said was, in a case where you have a high crime area and the state does not have adequate notice that something is going to happen the state cannot be held responsible. In other words, if someone in your city, and I have, I live in Dade County where there's high crime, gets mugged, and there was no police officer there because all police officers were on other calls protecting citizens or writing their reports or taking people to jail, the state cannot be held responsible. The state cannot be held responsible for not being everywhere at all times. But that's what makes Rosewood unique. There was more than plenty of time, and there were precedents that on two prior occasions where rioting activity was about to occur or occurring, and that the lives and properties of white citizens were in danger, the state called the National Guard. And the problem with Rosewood is exactly that, that there is no question that if this were a white town threatened by a black mob, there would have been adequate protection of those citizens. And the state failed in that duty and in its duty to provide equal protection.
Members, let me see if there's anyone who wishes to speak in opposition. And if so, I would ask them to ask to be acknowledged at this time. Are there ones who wish to speak in opposition to the bill? Are there any who wish to speak in opposition to the bill? Members, seeing none, I'm going to suggest that we shorten the number of those who wish to speak in closing. Is there anyone, Representative Chestnut?
Mr. Speaker, I believe that we would like to waive our time and move the bill.
Okay, is there anyone who wishes to speak in closing? Representative Klein, you care to close on the bill?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We move the bill and urge your favorable consideration.
Representative Klein moves the bill. Question recurs on final passage. Committee substitute for House Bill 591. The clerk will unlock the machine and all members will proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Final passage. Committee substitute House Bill 591. Have all members voted? Have all members voted? Have all members voted? The clerk will lock the machine and announce the vote.
71 yeas, 40 nays, Mr. Speaker.
By your vote, you've passed committee substitute for House Bill 591. Representative Rudd, I understand that you had a pair on that. You're recognized to announce the pair.
Yes, sir, Mr. Speaker. I had a pair with Representative Dennis. Had she been present, she would have voted yes. Had I voted, I would have voted no.
That pair will be duly recognized and recorded, Representative Rudd. Representative Lawson.
Mr. Speaker, I would just like to say briefly, I would like to thank you personally for your commitment and bringing this whole issue to reality and for commissioning the study. And I would like to thank Representative Grande for his work and all the members, and especially the members of the House of Representatives, because this has really been a tough issue. And I would just like to thank all you members for all of the time that I've lobbied and talked to you. And you all have been nothing but courteous and trying to understand this issue. And I appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. And I know, Mr. Speaker, that Representative DeGrande would like to say something. I know that we have the Rosewood family up in the gallery. But at this time, I'm going to yield to Representative DeGrande.